Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Robert Coulson, senior correspondent here at RFERL. Welcome, Rob. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
All right. Always a pleasure. First, a disclaimer. We're recording this on Friday, December 18th, the day after Putin's annual press conference. And we're going to discuss some of the things he said, the topics he addressed to some degree or other. One series of remarks that stood out was about Chechnya, or rather about Ramzan Kadyrov, the person Putin appointed president of Chechnya, I think that was the title then, in 2007, pretty much as soon as Kadyrov was old enough. And Kadyrov still heads the region today. Now, rights activists and Western governments have long accused Kadyrov of severe human rights abuses. In imposing new sanctions targeting him and his allies earlier this month, the U.S. Treasury Department said that since the time when previous sanctions were imposed in 2017, forces under Kadyrov's guidance continued, quote, egregious activities, including, quote, kidnapping, torturing, and killing members of the LGBTI population of Chechnya. And the Treasury Department also said that these forces, quote, are accused of illegal abductions, torture, extrajudicial executions, and other abuse. But Putin seemed to have nothing but praise for Kadyrov at the press conference. He was responding, I believe, to a question from Chechnya. Rob, what was your impression of those remarks and maybe your thoughts about the motives?
Yeah, that exchange really stuck out for me and struck me as very odd. First of all, primarily because they seemed to go out of their way to raise the topic at all. Nobody would have thought it was strange if the whole press conference had passed without Putin discussing Kadyrov, as is usually the case, as a matter of fact. They clearly must have known when they called on this journalist, who's a state journalist from Grozny, who's very closely tied to Kadyrov and was extremely obsequious in her question both toward Putin and toward Kadyrov. Even if they hadn't scripted the question in advance, they must have known that she would ask a question of that type. What struck me about Putin's answer was that there's never been any sort of daylight between Kadyrov and Putin all along. So it's not so much that he supported Kadyrov, but that how strongly he supported Kadyrov,
right,
is the point. And he basically said that Kadyrov is being sanctioned by the West because the West hates Russia, put Kadyrov in the same basket with all the other people who are sanctioned, and dismissed the sanctions and the accusations against Kadyrov, which had never been addressed in Russia, of course. So, and he stressed that he knows Kadyrov well, and Kadyrov is 100% working for the Chechen people, although Putin did use the strange formulation, he's 100% working for the Chechen people in Russia, meaning really stressing that, you know, Chechnya is an integral part of Russia, and no attempts at separatism are going to be tolerated at all.
Right.
Why? That's for the motive. That's really up there. I mean, one would think that it's possible that Kadyrov asked the Kremlin for a signal of support from Putin at this event, perhaps to solidify his own position in the Republic, perhaps going into the 2021 Duma elections. He wants to make sure that he can deliver the usual 99% that Chechnya brings to the table. Other than that, the other thing that struck me about the exchange was that they went out of their way to mention, both in the question and the answer, that not only was Kadyrov sanctioned, but his wife and his children, and that always plays well in Putin's base, that, you know, they're going after the families, the innocent children, and
right,
and whatever. Without mentioning, of course, that the daughters that were sanctioned are both Chechen officials, actually. So, so it was just really interesting that, I mean, Putin has never criticized Kadyrov, of course, but he's rarely come out so strongly in support of him.
Right, absolutely. And I think, I mean, I think you sort of mentioned, sometimes I think Kadyrov tends to like angle for a particular expression of support from Putin. You know, he'll, I think he's, hasn't he pledged or, you know, said he'd consider resigning a couple of times, things like that. And I agree. I think, you know, one of the things about this press conference was that it comes amid kind of reports about, you know, Russian, alleged Russian nefarious actions, the Russia's being blamed for big cyber attack on the U.S. and, you know, the FSB and being blamed, you know, the evidence in the Bellingcat report, the FSB was poisoned Navalny. So that points the finger at Putin. And I think, you know, along with these sanctions against Kadyrov, new sanctions, it feels like Putin was kind of trying to circle wagons and you know, put him in the same boat, you know, saying it's us against them. So I think that was part. I mean, that's not very, you know, that's probably part of the motive. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Interesting. You know, you mentioned the Duma elections coming up next year. So there's always, I think, in some of Kadyrov's remarks, when he does, you know, speak to Putin and visit the Kremlin, there's sometimes this suggestion of, well, you do need to back me, and of course Putin has done very little, as you mentioned, to address any concerns about Kadyrov and his actions. You know, it's more of the same, but as you said, it's, you know, it seemed like a particularly I guess full-throated expression of support. Now, the press conference lasted 4.5 hours, while this podcast is only about 15 minutes. So we're not going to go through everything Putin said. But I'll say one thing that struck me was his repetition of complaints about the United States and the West, which seemed to take up quite a bit of time, despite the fact that only two foreign journalists were called on, and only one of them asked a question. To me, it seemed like Putin was, kind of, as he's done before, repeating longstanding grievances and suggesting that the West is to blame for the poor state of relations, and it's up to the West, to Washington and Europe, to take the initiative to improve relations on the basis, as he says often, of mutual trust. But I mean, there's a new kind of very recent context to this, especially the idea of trust, both the cyber attack and the poisoning of Navalny, and in particular the report by Bellingcat and its partners, which came out a few days before the press conference, which and included kind of voluminous evidence of FSB involvement. So, you know, in a way, it feels like Putin's delivering kind of the same or very similar message as in the past. He said that Russia is more white and fluffy or has the moral high ground over the West. But it's in a new context that kind of, you know, to me, undermines that argument further than it may have been before. Rob, in addition to the remarks about Kadyrov, was there anything that kind of drew your attention or stood out during this multi-hour marathon?
Yeah, well, I definitely completely agree with everything you said about his discussion of the United States and the West. And what struck me about that in particular was how he managed to bring that note into the conversation over and over again in various questions, whether it's about the upcoming elections in Russia or about these reports or about Kadyrov. Over and over again, it came up that that basically Russia is under attack by the West on every front. And Russia basically relies on Putin and his sort of top-down authoritarian system to protect it from this nefarious attack. I think that one of the reasons why he did that, and one of the strengths of that tactic, is that he is preparing the ground for the 2021 Duma elections. I think that's really on the top of the Kremlin's list these days, because it's going to set the tone for how they can go about keeping Putin in power if he wants to again run again. What's going to happen next after Putin? It is sort of a referendum on Putin. As the last couple of rounds of elections have shown, the opposition is becoming more effective with each election. United Russia is getting a weaker and weaker position publicly. And so the elections are more interesting in Russia than they have been in a long time, I think. Then by saying that the CIA is doing everything in Russia and attacking Russia in every way and is going to interfere with the elections, he's setting up, first of all, he's playing very, that plays very well with a large portion of his base, but also he's setting up the possibility of a lot of actions from banning parties to banning candidates to cracking down on journalists to cracking down on the internet. All of this can be done under the rubric of the CIA is trying to influence the election. So I think he wanted that to make that point very strongly. Another thing that I think is worth mentioning is that, and you touched on it, were the two investigative reports that he commented on, the one by Bellingcat about the Navalny poisoning and the other one about a report about his alleged former son-in-law,
right,
who used his connections to make a huge fortune. Although he also mentioned in both of these cases that this was CIA propaganda, whatever, being laundered into the Russian information sphere through these reports. And so that was also part of what we were just talking about. But, I mean, it is significant, I think, and worth mentioning that this is sort of the first time that Putin has sort of been forced to comment at all on these kinds of reports about corruption within his administration. You'll remember that there were very damning reports about Prosecutor General Chaika and about Medvedev when he was prime minister that the Kremlin just successfully completely ignored. But in this case, you know, he apparently felt sort of obligated to comment on them. And I think that's sort of an achievement in a sense for openness in Russia.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. I mean, and it all sort of fits together, I think, in a way, from the Kadyrov remarks, but also, you know, as you say, you know, he was forced to or addressed, you know, some of these reports, some of these things, and he did so in a way that, you know, he did his best, I think, to, as you say, sort of channel it into the idea of this is an attack on Russia, you know, it's CIA propaganda, and that all kind of fits into you know, what you're saying about the elections coming up and how. So, and you mentioned some very concrete things. You know, I was thinking of it more in terms of ideas and, you know, getting messages out, you know, to the Russian people. But there's also, as you mentioned, I think they're sort of preparing the ground, laying the groundwork for, you know, for concrete actions to you know, potentially further restrict, you know, the space for, you know, for dissent in these elections. And I think, you know, part of the idea of, you know, Navalny has obviously been somewhat successful with the smart voting tactics. And so, you know, ahead of these elections, you know, Navalny's not in Russia now, but, you know, he's using the report to try to, you know, to try to turn people to you know, convey a certain idea to Russians that Navalny's part of a Western plot, essentially. And that's,
yeah, another aspect of this Western plot thing that I think worth mentioning is that I think it'll send a signal to the Russian state media and Russian state television in particular. I think we'll see a lot of this anti-Westernism, anti-Americanism coming up in people like Solovyov and Kislyov in the coming months, for sure.
Yeah, that sounds like a good guess because, you know, usually they don't seem to need a lot of encouragement to, you know, to move in that direction. So, and now we do have some encouragement. All right, Rob, well, thanks very much. Those are very, very interesting comments. We're running out of time. We'll have to wrap it up for today. Thanks very much for joining me, Rob.
All right, thanks for having me. Talk to you later.
Okay, I'll be back next Monday with another edition of The Week Ahead in Russia, actually the last one in the great year 2020. Thanks for listening.